in some, 4 or 5 weeks ahead of time. And I can change them as I go along for the events that are taking place, but I don't do that most of the time. I just do the things that we rehearse and practice, and these things are rehearsed. They are practiced at things, and that's the way we do. We try to help people to be doing things and learning things that we want to present in a good way. What is our unique relationship to sin, as our relationship to the Lord was discussed this last week? What now is our relationship to wrongdoing? In the book of Psalms, chapter 7, verse 11, we read where the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. How many days? Every day. Angry with whom? Angry with the wicked every day. When we do wicked things, things that are against others, things that are against God, things that are against that which is righteous and good, then we ought to know that the Lord is not just passive about it. He's not just turning his head and looking the other way. It's the case that the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7, verse 11. Significant it is that the one who is blessed of the Lord in Psalm 1, verse 1, is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor walks in the street in ways of the wrong. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Here's a person who is meditating upon the word of the Lord, the ideals of the Lord. The word of the Lord will give us a strength to live for him and follow his way. And our relationship to sin and wrongdoing will be that we won't be where the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. We'll be a person who is blessed of God because we have the love for his word that is a part of our hearts and lives. It's our meditation day and night. So it is that in that relationship that we maintain with him, we find a unique relationship that we should have toward wrongdoing. What do you feel in regard to when you see the news or you read the newspaper in regard to murder that is done? Murder of little children, murder of an innocent woman or an innocent man. Can you imagine the ideas that went through the minds of people? I heard them expressed when this gentleman had walked home downtown in Memphis and was just shot to death by a couple of folks who wanted to rob him. Wanted to go through his pockets and see what he had. And of course, he didn't care much money. He was wise in that regard, and he didn't have much for them to get. But they got their picture, that right there in front of the big city hall area, got their picture. And as soon as they got away from there, they were virtually arrested because here they were, facial pictures right there on it. The idea of misbehaving. When others misbehave like that, what goes through our mind? Do we think in regard to how terrible that is? Who trained that individual to think that way? Who allowed that to go on in the home that they came from? So many of those homes I know are broken homes, and you do too. So many of those homes have only one parent that's there to guide and direct. And oftentimes those children get away from the home as fast as they can to not be guided by anybody that's there, be it a good grandma or a good mother or a good father. So it is the case that those things happen in this world in which we live. Do we feel an obligation to teach them? Do we feel an obligation to be a friend? Do we feel an obligation to help? Someone says, how can you help? Our Lord Jesus talked about how we can help people who are ungodly and unrighteous. He talked about how that we'd live in such a way and to care for them in such a way. Paul repeated that story in regard to how to live and how to behave before others. And to care for others. Be compassionate toward them, helping people. And as we help people, we gain their attention as to how they live, how they're to behave, how they wish they had lived and had that same kind of attention given to them. And they may want to know something about this Lord that you now serve, the Lord that you now do something with. Why are we doing this holiday treats and everything up this way? That's the time of the year for it, of course. And if the wind's blowing like it was this morning, I don't know. I think we'll put on our overcoats to be out there in it. Because once that wind came up this morning, it was a cold, cold type of wind for us. And to those who are listening on the internet site, you may not have been a part of the southern winds that we had this morning here on this Sunday morning, but we had some winds that suddenly came and they were bitter cold. Well, we find ourselves doing that in order to help people. Of these 80 or 90 or 100 people that have come by, driven in the parking lot and stopped, many, many times over the last 2 or 3 years of time, it has been said, thank y'all for doing this. This is safe. We're hesitant about sending our little children up to a house we don't know who's there, up a driveway we don't know what's going to come out to meet them there. The dogs may be there and whatever. They love the fact that we care enough to do some little candy, some little things. And when we all do a little bit and join in, we won't do like some who will give them everything. But we got some people here that have just served their baskets real, real well. If we'll do some things like that together, then good things will be done. Nobody will get sick later on because they eat too much of sugar. And it'll be a good thing to happen. Goodwill. We have a little tract that we offer. We do not hand it to anybody. We do not demand that they take a tract with them as they leave. If they wish to come and pick it up and take it with them. It talks about the home, the family, better marriages, better rearing of children. The colorful tracts. Allen Underwood, over yonder, way over there in Alabama, Jacksonville, Alabama. He has really done a good job with all that. Recognized in the nation. Recognized across the nation. But he tells me that it takes about 18 months of mailing in house to house and heart to heart for them to get a response from it. About 18 months, it's thrown in the trash. It's read without any consideration. There's no response to it. But about 18 months goes by and somebody raises a question. Somebody wants to know a little bit more. What's our relationship to the Lord and to righteous things? If we do that enough in the presence of people, what good will it do? Jesus said it'd do a lot of good. Paul said it'd do a lot of good. The compassion that we show will change a person's view about some things that they didn't think about before. Let's have that relationship with the Lord in His right way. Again, back to our principal thought this morning, that is our relationship to sin and wrongdoing. In Isaiah chapter 59, reference is made to our living before God and how that the ways that we walk are the ways that are not of God. He says, your ways are not my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. But he notes to us that if we walk in his way, if we walk in his path, and isn't that what Jesus said in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7? He said, if you'll walk down the straight gate and go through the narrow gate in the straight way, you will find life. But if you go down that wide gate and that broad way, it leads unto destruction. We can see things as we go along through life. What's happening in your daily walk of life and in mine? Are we getting the compassion of people around us? Are we getting the offer of help and assistance from people around us? Are we folks that are helpful and not harmful to one another? Or do we find ourselves following a way that is being harmful to us? Harmful in every way. Harmful in every approach in life. Let's be people then who honor the respect that God has for righteousness and the disrespect that he has for unrighteous conduct. And let's think about our relationship to sin. The Lord being angry with the wicked every day. Let's not be there. As we find ourselves following his right way, doing his right things, we find ourselves with a great hope in the Lord. Let's honor that hope. Let's live that way. If we'll do that, we find ourselves being blessed of God. In the writing that we find in 1 John, reference is made in chapter 5 to something significant. If man sins a sin unto death, he says, I do not say you shall pray for it. What's the Lord telling us not to pray for? Someone who's determined to live a life that is against the right codes of God. They're depending upon, instead of confessing, their tongue has misled them, their tongue has misguided words, and so forth. I love the way that I speak, the way of the way I curse, the way that I profane, and I'm going to stay with it. I do not say, John writes in 1 John 5, that you shall pray for it. What about that individual who confesses his sins in 1 John 1 verse 9? And God hears it and is faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. What does the Lord wish to do with our sins? Cleanse them away. The blood of his son was shed for that purpose. That cleansing, powerful agent will cleanse us from sin. Take away those sins in our lives. Our relationship with the Lord will be a positive and fulfilling relationship. But if we get into sinning those sins unto death, from which we're not going to quit, we're not going to cease, we're not going to desist, we're going to continue to practice that way of life, then John says, do not pray for this. The Lord wanted us to love him and love him enough that we would be people who helpful to others and realize that sin in any practice, what are those type of sins in life? Principal sins that are part of our fleshly nature of life. The lies that are told, the deceptions that are given, the way of life in which we find ourselves speaking those kind of things that are worldly and amusing to us, of the worldly ways of life and materialistic ways of life. Well, when we come back to the ways of God, we see how foolish it was. That material thing has to be replaced or updated. It'll tarnish if we don't shine it. It will find ourselves always with a work state going on. The things that we've said that were falsehoods are now found out. Being found out, we have the reputation of being a person not trustworthy, not telling the truth, not telling what's right and good. We find ourselves being rejected of others who would otherwise trust us with something, but they do not trust us because of our lies that they know we live in from day to day. What about an individual who finds himself practicing a way that is deceptive of others? Not telling the truth. Not being a person who's helpful. You reckon they would trust a certain thing with us of their loved ones or their loved individuals? Why, no, they would not trust at all because we're not trustworthy in our mannerisms of life. Sin is a terrible blight within our lives and terrible to fulfill the lust of the words of the ways of the world. And to go into the ways of death. I close out today in 1 John chapter 2 and at verse 15. When John sums out all the things of the world, he says all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride or vainglory of life. These things are not of the Father, but of the world. He that doeth these things will pass away. But he that does the things of the Father will abide forever. You're a spiritual person, going about life, doing the things of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Finding ourselves involved in those things of life, on and on and on, will bring about what good? It passes away. And the lust thereof brings about nothing against abiding. But the abiding ways of God are the ways that we want to practice. Let's find ourselves loving His righteous way and rejecting the ways of sin. It may be that there are certain sins in our lives of the which it is going to be difficult, if not virtually impossible, to get away from. But the more that we fall in love with the Lord, the more we love His righteous way and His good way and His good forgiveness, the way that we love his way of truth and righteousness and patience and peace, the more easily it will be for us to slide away from a practice of sin in our lives and over into a practice of prayer and peace in our lives. We'll not be people who are found against the ways of God. We'll be people who honor the way of God in all the righteous codes that God has set forth in his word. Think about your relationship to the Lord today, and as we sing these words of encouragement, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation, as was Simon the sorcerer, in Acts chapter 8, find yourself coming forward to request prayer that we might be not away from God, that we might be forgiven of the Lord, and as a result of that way, live that way of life in such an honorable and good way that you find heaven to be your home someday. You know, at the end of sinful ways of life, there is nothing. Nothing lasting, nothing helpful, nothing sustaining. But at the end of a peaceful walk with God and a righteous way of conduct, telling the truth, being compassionate to others, in fulfilling the ways of faithful worship to God, we find ourselves rewarded. A home of the soul, a hope of the soul. That's the way we live. I trust you've not only enjoyed a message today, but have a plan to carry out that message in your daily walk of life. Let's stand together as we sing this song of invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing pot? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his gracious eye? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Cleansing blood of the Lamb, are you gone? Spotless are they white in the snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Remember the gospel preaching service to be done today and the singing of Fried Hardeman Chapel Singers at the Thyatira congregation. It's celebrating today its 175th anniversary today at Thyatira. They're going to enjoy lunch together today and all, but they're also going to have early afternoon. Brother Williams is going to come back and speak to them today and all, and they'll have the Fried Hardeman group to come in and sing this afternoon there at Thyatira. But what a good thing. God bless you all. Look forward to seeing you this evening and our time of our fellowship together afterwards. Our songs, we won't have a sermon tonight. We'll have a good singing time tonight. And we'll have a good thing. Miss Jane made a nectar cake. Apricot nectar cake. You've got to have a taste of it to let us know how it is. Just how it is. And it's a good thing. I believe. But good to see you all today. God bless you and a safe day and have a safe time. I look forward to seeing you tonight at the same time.
Are there any other announcements that you need to make before we dismiss this?
Jim talked about this.
Thank you.
Jesus.